Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. An all-white team of scientists led by J. Craig Venter has just created a new form of life. They didn't create life from scratch, as some breathless headlines implied. That's not possible yet and may never be. We just don't know. But what Venter and his team have done is awe-inspiring and profoundly revolutionary, nonetheless. What they have done exceeds the moon landing in significance and potential. They have removed the DNA from a living cell, rearranged and essentially reprogrammed it according to principles learned over years of experimentation, inserted it into another cell, which was then able to live and reproduce as an utterly new form of life, a new species. They first succeeded in doing this in 2010, but just this Thursday announced success in a much more advanced experiment in which the alteration of the genetic code was far more extensive. They began with a species of parasitic bacteria, Mycoplasma mycoidea, from which they took the genome. This species was chosen because many of the parasitic bacterium's needs were provided by the host animals, thus making the genome simpler and easier for researchers to understand, analyze, and re-engineer. Mycoplasma has the smallest genome of any known independently reproducing cellular organism. They removed the DNA from the bacterium for their 2010 experiment, then chemically recreated it in the laboratory. They used a complex technique to watermark non-functional parts of the genetic code with human prose and poetry taken from literature. They then inserted the watermarked genetic material into another bacterial cell from the closely related Mycoplasma capricolum series, which had previously had its genome removed. They tried and failed. They failed again and again. Their chemical synthesis of the natural genome had tiny mistakes in it. When it was inserted into the cell, it failed to reproduce, and the cell died. But finally, a new version of the genome was inserted into the cell, and it began to reproduce. To use the computer-derived terminology of the experimenters, it booted up. The team anxiously tested the new daughter cells. They didn't know for sure what they would find in their genomes. Would they simply revert back to the natural genome of the parent cell? When the results came in, they saw that the daughter cell's DNA contained the poetry written by the scientists as a watermark. They had created a new, viable, living species with a genome rewritten by man. Like all forms of replicating life, it now was potentially immortal. This new living species they dubbed JCVI-SYN 1.0, or just SYN 1.0 for short. The next step was to understand more clearly what they had done and thereby increase their power to alter the genome. They had already begun with one of the simplest genomes extant, and they decided the pathway of their experiments would be to simplify it even further. Over the course of the next 6 years, they experimented countless times with the removal of various genes to see which were essential to cellular life and which could be dispensed with. They divided the genes into groups and eliminated them one at a time. And if a group proved essential to the life process, they further divided it into subgroups and eliminated each of these in turn, and so on through sub-subgroups and then individual genes, until finally they had stripped the organism down to just 473 genes. Human cells have about 20,000. And it still was able to live and reproduce. Venter and his team say they could have gone a bit further than that, but then the speed of cell division would have gotten so slow as to make their experiments impractical. So they stopped at 473, the simplest genome of any living being known. And it was created by four men of our race in a laboratory in La Jolla, California, 2,200 years after another man of our race, Eratosthenes, first calculated the diameter and polar tilt of the Earth and the distance between the Earth and the Sun. So today we behold Sin 3.0. Sin 3.0 has no watermarks, and needs none, so distinctive is it from anything that has ever existed before on this planet. Quote, "We did not add new poetry," close quote, Venter said. Dan Gibson said they didn't need to, quote, "The whole cell is a watermark," close quote. The scientists' growing power over the genome is illustrated by the fact that the Venter team even rearranged the genes to make future experiments easier, arranging them so that genes with known related functions were next to one another, in a process not unlike defragging a hard drive so that files are placed contiguously on the drive surface and not scattered randomly. Clyde Hutchison, lead author of the team's latest study, said, quote, "The goal is to figure out the functions of all the cell's genes and make a computer model to predict how it would grow and change in different environments or with additional genes. It's important to realize there is no cell that exists where we know the functions of all the genes," close quote. Many mysteries remain. Even in the new, ultra-simple genome they have created, there are still 149 genes, almost a third of the total, the function of which is unknown, though it is known that they are in some way essential to life. Now there is a long, long road ahead before this knowledge and power can be used practically. And even then, the applications being talked of are mostly constructing novel organisms, like bacteria that can eat plastic or toxic waste, new life forms that act like living medicines inside the human body, or living biofuels to replace fossil fuels, or even reconstructing the earliest and simplest forms of life, or attempting to design life forms that could thrive on other worlds. Ultimately, though, the most profound potential of this new power can be found in how it may one day be used to direct our own evolution. Now, are there potentials for terrible disasters to be found in this new, almost godlike power to create new species? Yes, there are. Just thinking about these new abilities being put in the service of the same men who run the FDA and the CIA and the ADL and Monsanto and the pharmaceutical companies, men hostile to our race, men with a focus on money and this year's bottom line, and to hell with what might happen to our race and the Earth 1,000 years from now, is enough to freeze my blood colder than an Antarctic cave. But the power, now exists. It cannot be wished away. It cannot be moralized away. Having it regulated by today's Western governments or NGOs will just make it more likely to be used for evil than for good. And there is much potential for good. What are Venter and his team accomplishing, really? They are, first of all, learning precisely what the function is of each individual gene. They have learned the functions of 324 so far. It took them 6 years to do this. At that rate, in 3 or 4 centuries, we will understand the function of every single human gene. But it will not take 300 years. Assuming that white geniuses and scholars of the hard sciences will continue to exist, their knowledge will feed on itself, and it will happen in decades, not centuries. Additionally, they are learning to write genomes, like computer programmers write software. And they are learning how to physically insert the genetic software into the hardware of a living cell. All of this is a dizzying advance over current genetic engineering technology. In secret or in the open, such technology will eventually be applied to human beings. If in secret, we might see efficient, uncomplaining slaves developed. We might see unfeeling, never-tiring, super-strong killing machines, engineered psychopaths to be raised and used as semi-human soldiers. We might see engineered races of assassins and minders, indistinguishable from us in appearance, created to keep a constant eye on the rest of us and report any thought crimes or word crimes to our masters. We might see nightmare horrors beyond the worst and most tortured imaginings of H.P. Lovecraft come to life to kill us, torture us, eat us, and replace us. If in the open, though, we might see fathers and mothers able to ensure that all the desirable characteristics and none of the defects of their genetic backgrounds are passed on to their children. We might see higher intelligence, greater creativity, nobler character, and stronger and more beautiful bodies than have ever been before seen among us. What mother, what father, given free choice, would decide that his children should be degraded or inferior, or in fact anything less than excellent? And what is the aesthetic and practical and instinctive ideal of almost all of our people, despite the lip service they pay to the plastic idol of diversity? It is the Aryan ideal. Considering that some races will master this technology and some will not, we might see an ever greater divergence between the intelligent and primitive races on this planet, with the differences becoming so great that the equality lie will totally collapse in the face of the fact that the primitives will no longer appear to even be of the same species as us. We might even see genetic programming written to ensure that our newly advanced race will no longer run the risk of genetic pollution through racial mixing with savages, since such pollution will have been rendered as impossible as crossing a bison with a bumblebee. The answer to ensuring that these new powers are used for good and not evil, for ascending the spiral ladder of our DNA upward to the stars and not descending it to a lower than animal or slave existence, is, as always, gaining power. power over our own lives. Power that can be gained only by having our own society and a government answerable only to us. Power to keep the incalculable wealth generated by our people in our own hands and using it for our own purposes, and ending the wealth transfer to the brown underclass and the Jewish overclass. Power to achieve the destiny that is ours alone and cannot be shared with any other race. Achieving this necessary power is the long-term goal of the National Alliance. It would be a great sin indeed to let these new technologies fall by default into the hands of our mortal enemies because we failed to act. Today, I want you to make a decision. I want you to decide to join the most noble cause of all time. I want you to join the only group of men and women on this planet who truly understand the cosmic stakes that are involved in our race's present plight. I want you to join us and help us gain the power we need, not only to survive this year, this decade, or this century. The power we need not only to survive as members of a particular nation or culture, but to survive and achieve our destiny as the vanguard of conscious life in the universe. To build a new nation, a new people, a whole new world of which men have only just begun to dream. I want you to decide today, this hour, this minute, that you will join the National Alliance. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance, founded by William Luther Pierce in 1970. This program is published every week at whitebiocentrism.com and nationalvanguard.org. You can join and support us by visiting natall.com, that's N-A-T-A-L-L.com, or write to National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. We welcome your support, your inquiries, and your help in spreading our message of hope to our people. Once again, that address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you to keep on thinking free.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth. For blood and for soil.